And welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack, also in studio with me right now. And friends, appreciate the fact that homeschooling has enabled something of a decentralization of control over families in a 1984-ish age. And we want to maximize on the liberties that God has given to us under his law. We find that in 1 Corinthians 7:21. If you can be free from the unnecessary servitude of men, use it. Rather, you are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. So there is something of a value to freedom. And we're going to talk about that in light of these vaccines that seem to be coming down the pike at us, especially with the coronavirus and this desire on the part of the state to fix all problems. I told my kids the other day, Bill, that the state fixes a problem by smacking a mosquito with a sledgehammer or a wrecking ball.
No, it's more like a tank.
Okay, yeah.
That's how the government
running over the mosquito with a tank.
Yeah.
The government is good at killing. The government is good at defending nations from people who invade and kill our people. But governments don't do well with other things, and when they promise to save you from all disease and from all economic troubles and from your educational problems, when they tell you that they can save you from all of these maladies that afflict humankind, friends, you need to look for another savior.
Hey, did you know that the government is now changing our national mascot or whatever it is, you know, the eagle?
Yeah.
It's the raccoon.
Why is that?
Because it loves to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
It incessantly washes its hands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you rearrange the word raccoon, it spells corona.
No way. Really?
Yes way.
Okay.
So we're,
makes
we're
sense. Mm-hmm.
Now, so the national mascot
is the raccoon.
Is the raccoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
This has got people nervous. This is Fox Business. President Trump was interviewed on Fox Business, says he'd rapidly mobilize U.S. military to distribute the coronavirus vaccine once it's ready. Here's the quote. We're mobilizing our military and other forces, but we're mobilizing our military on the basis that we do have a vaccine. You know, it's a massive job to give this vaccine. Our military is now being mobilized. So at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly. The president said we will have a tremendous force. Because assuming we get it, then you got to distribute it. Unless you're mobilized and ready, you're not going to be able to do it for a long time. So we're starting now.
Whoa.
That's kind of scary.
Back up there.
That's kind of scary. I don't know about you, Bill, but this gives gives me these visions of some military guy busting down the
driver.
Door.
Yes.
And vaccinating my kids in their bellies. You know.
What, but you know what?
Huh?
He's not alone in this.
Why is that?
Harvard Law School Emeritus Professor Alan Dershowitz.
Okay.
Okay. Big ACLU guy, right?
Uh-huh.
Big First Amendment guy, right?
Uh-huh.
Claimed in an interview that the government has a constitutional right under the 10th Amendment to forcibly vaccinate a citizen to curb the spread of contagious disease. Now, he was interviewed by Jason Goodman. And he said this, let me put it very clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business. And Goodman asked him, so if the government decides you have to be vaccinated, we have to be vaccinated? Here's his response. Absolutely, Dershowitz replied. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm.
Wow.
Where is that in the Constitution? Mm. Goodman asked. Dershowitz clarified that if a person is threatened with a deadly disease that is not contagious, he can refuse treatment. But you have no right to refuse to be vaccinated against a contagious disease.
Mm. Well, there's two arguments for that. There's the biblical argument and the constitutional argument. And I believe we as Christians have a right to apply our rights as citizens, as the Apostle Paul applied his right as a citizen to avoid immediate problems in Ephesus and other places. You remember he appealed to Caesar a number of times, And he did that in order to retain something of his rights to life. And friends, we have the ability to appeal to the Constitution as well, the Constitution being interpreted, of course, by the judicial branch of the government to raid in the executive branch and such, and we can play one branch against the other branch for the reasons of defending our liberties and our rights, even as the Apostle Paul did the same thing. So, friends, it's appropriate for us to not be overly simplified concerning these legal issues. We don't just say, hey, we just submit to whatever the legislature says. We don't say we submit to whatever the executive branch says. We should say we submit to the governments that have been placed over us, honor to whom honor is due, recognizing the balance of powers that does exist, where the judicial branch has the right to rein in an executive that is out of control. And friends, that's pretty much where we are right now with so many of these executives. They just seem to be more or less out of control in some of these areas.
I would say they're not executives. They're bureaucratic wonks. They're policy wonks. It's the administrative state. They have not been elected to a position. They are not accountable to the people, as is the president, as are legislators. So they are not executives. They are bureaucrats. They are part of the administrative state. And that is what has grown in the past 100 years to be the blight. It's not the coronavirus that's the blight. It is the administrative state that is the blight on our country.
And Bill, you know, the language I'm hearing from much of our executives at the state and the federal level is this demagoguery. And we don't use the word demagoguery much, but the demagoguery and the dictatorial nature of the executive branch seems to be getting beyond the level of outrageous these days. Demagoguery actually is an old word. That's a good one. But it actually means political activity or practices that seek support by appealing to the desires and prejudices of ordinary people rather than by using rational argument. Have you ever heard demagoguery in the present day? Is that smack of something you've heard of in the present day?
Yeah, it's not the word, it's just the practice that is.
You see it all.
Friends,
we're going to talk about posse comitatus next on the Generations broadcast. Hello, dads. Come this August, it'll be about time to get out of the house and up into the clear mountain air of the Colorado Rockies with your sons. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together, and what would be better than to spend the time in the Word, in the mountains, along with some good fellowship with a couple of hundred brothers in Christ from around the country. Guys, let's get our sons out of the house and back into God's grand creation. We'll turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships. And fill up your tank with some faith talks, encouragement for the battle, and a refocus on the centrality of God. This year, we're bringing Mike Snavely back, our best creationist speaker for fathers and sons. Bill Roach and yours truly also bringing some talks. Come on down to our annual Colorado Father-Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 27th to the 30th. The price is only $229 for dads and $139 for sons right now. That includes all meals and board. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure, including a rifle shooting range, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball court, world-class recreation center, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. For more information, check out ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson with you and friends. Talking about the President of the United States, quote, for Fox Business News just last week about the military enforcing the immunizations of the vaccines for the American public and visions of military men breaking down our doors and pressing needles into our children's tummies. Not a pleasant thing.
No.
Not a pleasant thing here. It just smacks of something unconstitutional to me.
But Alan Dershowitz, who's a constitutional attorney, you know, professor emeritus, he said, you have no right to refuse to be vaccinated against a contagious disease. Public health, the police power of the Constitution gives the state the power to compel that, and there are cases in the United States Supreme Court. And he says it derives from the 10th Amendment, okay? What it reminds me of, and I think this is where he's starting with, is this: when typhus was rampant in the country, there was Typhoid Mary, I think that was her nickname, Typhoid Mary. I'm pretty sure it was Mary. But she was a carrier for typhus. She never came down with the disease. It's like those who are asymptomatic with coronavirus, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't come down with the disease, but they can spread it. She worked in the food service industry, and she infected hundreds of people. They traced it to her, and she was ordered not to go back into the food service industry because of obvious reasons. She refused, saying, I have to make a living. And what eventually happened is they had to incarcerate her to keep her from infecting other people.
And that's biblical. Okay. That now, point is biblical. And here's why.
That's where he's going with this. Yeah. He's saying that's why you should be vaccinated.
But you can't take that to the umpteenth level. You can't say every single person out there has this typhoid virus running around their system and will share it with others until you've proven that fact. In the case of gross negligence, we have the bull that's wont to push his horn in the past. You have to prove that the bull was wont to push his horn in the past.
But there's a history.
And that bull has done damage, permanent harm or lasting harm, or has actually ended up with the killing or the death of certain victims as a result of his pushing the horn. So it's like, you have to establish.
So in today, it's very common for pit bulls to attack people.
Yeah.
And what you do is you put the pit bull down.
Yeah.
You can confiscate it and put it down. But it's not just because it's a pit bull. It's because it has attacked someone, and you keep it from doing it again putting it down.
That's right. But that doesn't mean that you have to incarcerate every pit bull.
Exactly.
And the same thing applies to forced vaccines and forced immunizations. I would suggest the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution should allow for that. And the police powers of the state should not be pulled on the part of the federal government of the United States when it comes to these problems. I think it should be the 10th Amendment that dominates. And the 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.
And he's referring to the 10th Amendment. Dershowitz is citing the 10th Amendment as a reason to vaccinate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's wrong.
Would take an opposite approach to that. And also the use of the military for civilian purposes would be reined in by the case law posse comitatus that came about, I believe, somewhere around 1870.
1878.
Case law indicates that execution of the law in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act occurs when the armed forces perform tasks assigned to an organ of civil government or when the armed forces perform tasks assigned to them solely for the purposes of civilian government. And that according to this congressional report on the Posse Comitatus, which is very helpful, by the way, to understand that the Constitution does not allow the military to use their power in domestic affairs, except for the case of suppressing insurrections. So that's the one case. They can suppress insurrections using the military, but not in the case of breaking down doors and pushing needles into the tummies of little children.
Though it was rarely used, but it has been used here in Colorado. In fact, in Aspen, Colorado, in June 1977, the sheriff called out the Posse Comitatus, ordinary citizens with their own weapons, to hunt for escaped mass murderer Ted Bundy.
Yeah, but that's a local posse, but that's not the United States military. And the Posse Comitatus Act restrains the military from being used in these situations. Questions concerning the Act's application arise most often in the context of assistance to civilian police. At least in this context, the courts have held that absent a recognized exception, the Posse Comitatus Act is violated when civilian law enforcement officials make direct active use of military investigators, the use of the military pervades the activities of the civilian officials, or the military is used so as to subject citizens to the exercise of military power, which is regulatory, prescriptive, or compulsory in nature, quote unquote. The act is not violated when the armed forces conduct activities for a military purpose. Yes, in 1877, apparently there were problems with the military being active in the southern states, and that's where the Posse Comitatus came about. Friends, it's doubtful that the courts are really going to allow for the use of military to enforce a law relating to immunizations, whether it be the flu or the coronavirus or any other
virus. I think you're a Pollyanna. I think.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
We'll see. Well, as Christians,
roll up your sleeves.
Let's be sure to remind our civil magistrates they are not God. There tends to be something of a pride about our civil magistrates today. Sadly, America is rooted in this sin of pride. National pride is the big thing. The power of pride, or the pride of power and centralized power, seems to be the thing that is driving much of our civil magistrates on the federal level as well as the state level these days. And as Christians, I think we need to come up to the microphone from time to time and warn our civil magistrates that they are not God. They are not our Savior. By God's law, they do not have absolute power. I know that's a shock to the system of many of our civil magistrates, but I think we need to continue to remind them of that. And as Christians, we need to be careful that we don't drop into state worship. And by the way, the worship of the beast in Revelation is not considered a good thing in the book of Revelation. So the worship of the beast, the worship of state power, is nothing that Christians should participate in. Now, before we're done with this program, Bill, I'd like to get back to vaccines. It turns out that, to date, 45 states in America allow for religious exemptions. But New York pulled it last year, and California's pulled it. So there's a religious exemption to vaccines in 45 states.
Those are going to be under attack. Mark my word that there's going to be an attempt to undermine those exemptions in some way.
Also, 25 states have allowed vaccine exemptions for homeschoolers thus far. That's half the states. And states like ours, families typically use the religious exemption or some kind of medical exemption if they can for vaccines in these states. It's interesting to me that those using exemptions, very much the minority. However, increasing over the last 10 years, Florida private schools up to 5.2% compared to a 2.7% rate for public school students. Texas, this just came out, I think, yesterday, conscientious objectors to vaccines have increased from 1% to 2% since 2011 in the state of Texas. Kind of surprised me, Bill, that it wasn't higher. It appears that it's only 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, 5% if you include the homeschoolers. So it's not very high. Exemptions to vaccines, very, very low. I was surprised.
I am too, especially with all the talk and the activity, maybe because here in Colorado there was a concerted effort against vaccinations in the last legislative session a year ago.
Well, interestingly enough, the first mandated vaccination in America was 1809, when Boston imposed a mandatory vaccination to quell recurring outbreaks of smallpox. In 1902, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Henning Jacobson, he appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States, trying to exempt himself from vaccinations. So this occurred in 1902. Eventually, the case made it to the Supreme Court of the United States in 1905. The Supreme Court ruled 7-2 in the favor of Jacobson. The Supreme Court found that an immunization rate of 85 to 90% confers protection on the group and therefore would not impose it on the 99.99999%. So that was their conclusion, and they exempted Jacobson, this Lutheran pastor, from immunizations. So just a little history, friends. The Supreme Court also considered the ordinance again in 1922 when some objected to the requirement that school children be vaccinated. This time, the principle of mandatory vaccination for public schools was upheld. That was in 1922.
You know, I think it was George Washington who first used vaccinations against smallpox. It was a crude form of vaccination.
It goes back to Jonathan Edwards. Yeah. I think he died by the attempt to use a smallpox vaccination. So, it goes back into the 1730s, 40s, but it was right around that time frame the smallpox vaccination showed up. And not to say the vaccinations haven't had their use.
I mean,
they have had a use.
I recall when the polio vaccine came out. I had a classmate who suffered from polio, who got polio, and actually that's a rare thing anymore to see somebody who has polio. Remember the iron lung? The iron lung was commonly used And it's nobody even knows what that is. It was the ventilator of the day, I guess.
Well, I'd like to close. People have asked me, how do we address issues like this? How do we address issues like this mandatory vaccination, which, by the way, as Bill just mentioned, we've been fighting this mandatory vaccination almost every year for 10 years, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long
time. Almost every year, the homeschoolers are back down at the Capitol trying to exempt themselves or their kids from mandatory vaccinations in our state. So we've seen this again and again, year after year. Just a couple of observations, friends, about mandatory vaccinations. I think you got to remember that as humans build their empires, and man is so good at building his empires and centralizing power in Washington, D.C., and by the way, in just the last 3 months, what have we done? We've probably increased the size of the federal government by another 30 or 40%. I can't even keep track of it anymore. What was it, $4 trillion or was it $8 trillion? I can't keep track of how much we've increased the size of the centralized federal government as a percentage of the GDP. It is through the ceiling, my friends. We are dealing with the most powerful governments, the most powerful government in the history of the world, bar none, certainly more powerful than the Soviet Union in terms of just the sheer size of the budgets that are controlled. The sheer size of the monies controlled by the federal government per capita is outrageous. Everybody say outrageous. Yes, it is outrageous. So just remember, friends, we have built this government for ourselves, the largest government in the history of mankind. So just keep that in mind. And this empire building, this Babel tendency, is going to lead governments into kidnapping more children and mandating lots and lots of regimen for them, like Nebuchadnezzar did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, didn't they mandate vaccines, or was it... It was their diet. Was it their diet or the vaccines? I can't remember which one.
Right. What difference does it make?
It doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
It's mandated.
It was mandated, right. By God's
government says you got it.
By God's grace, they got a homeschool exemption.
Yeah.
So by God's grace, something good happened.
They had to go through the fire to get it.
They had to go through the fire to get their exemption, but they got their exemption. So, friends, that's what governments do. That's what Nebuchadnezzar's do. Large governments always attempting to mass produce education in large schools. Large systems of education. By the way, they're feeding their kids more than they ever have before. Do you know that there's like opportunities for kids to go get their breakfast and their lunch at these public schools during the COVID-19?
At the grade school near my home, people drive up and pull up on the curb and they're handed a sack lunch every day.
Unbelievable.
Every day.
Friends, it's not just education anymore.
It's not education.
No, it's not.
There's no education.
No.
There's indoctrination.
Indoctrination, sack lunch, and vaccines. That's what they get. Friends, that's what Nebuchadnezzar's schools do. That's what the Babel principle brings about. Turning over the education of your children to mass learning centers paid for by the government where 1,000 kids gather, or 10,000 kids, or I don't know how big these schools are, 400 kids, whatever it is, where all these kids go into one little building. This will inevitably bring about some attempts to immunize, or at least to control, or to sequester, or to make decisions relating to the medical care and the diet of these kids. That's what's going to happen. You turn your kids over to Caesar, that's what's going to happen. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. If evangelicals in America, if conservatives in America, if Republicans in America are turning their kids over to the public school by, 97-98% of the kids turned over to Caesar, what do you think Caesar's going to do? Caesar's going to feel a responsibility to determine what happens to your kids in the area of these vaccines, in the area of the viruses that they might contract and share with the other kids that show up in Caesar's schools. Caesar takes responsibility for Caesar's schools, and Caesar takes responsibility for Caesar's kids, the kids that have been turned over to the public schools because parents refuse to provide for the funding and the control of their children's education. Friends, that's just the way it works. By the way, Deuteronomy 28 ties into this as well, these curses that God brings upon his people that turn away from his law. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, with the itch, with coronavirus, etc., etc. The Lord will strike with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and certainly that does happen. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours. Let me say that one more time. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees. The alien among you rise higher and higher above you. You shall go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. Why? Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. What are these curses? Diseases, something like COVID-19. Kidnapping of your sons and daughters, pretty much what the state's been doing for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Debt, pretty much what the state has been doing for the last 100 years. Debt to GDP ratio, what, 278%? Or is it 647%? Or was it 1,427%? I don't remember.
Just depends on what week you're looking at.
Friends, these are the consequences of not obeying God. These are the consequences of not obeying God. Friends, freedom from big government control is a blessing that God gives to his people. But you know what? He withholds the blessing when we don't obey him. That's just it. People say, well, yeah, but I want all my freedoms. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back. You may not get your freedoms. Why? Because you didn't keep the commandments of God as a nation. So freedom from big government control, or the kidnapping of your kids, the control of your families, that's a blessing from God. It's not an inevitability. Some have not been blessed with freedoms. Think about our poor Russian friends, or sometimes our Chinese friends, others. It appears that this is the direction we're heading for. Now, the best thing we can do is confess our sins to God, pray that God would exempt us from his temporal judgments or chastisements. Now, here's the question that people are asking now. They say, okay, well, let's say the mandatory vaccines come down the pike. What can we do? Well, the number one thing you can do is confess your sins and pray to God for his deliverance. That's the first thing you can do. And friends, God's in charge. So an appeal to God is a good idea. Wouldn't you say appeal to a higher authority is always a good idea?
Always.
Always. So the first thing I would suggest is appeal to a higher authority. The second thing is your church denomination might consider requesting a religious exemption based upon liberty of conscience for individual members who may believe that immunizations are a violation of the Sixth Commandment. Whether the immunization is actually a violation of the Sixth Commandment is actually up for some debate, especially when you draw that universal conclusion for every person ever immunized. It's hard. It's impossible to draw that conclusion, friends, for every single person that ever's had a smallpox immunization. I mean, come on. We can't say that every immunization is a violation of the Sixth Commandment. So be very careful with how you draw a conclusion on that. I haven't seen a study that compares the life expectancy of those immunized to those not immunized. That would be very difficult to do, especially if you're trying to block all the confounding inputs in such a statistical study. So it's very hard to do in experiments like that. But some families, and this is a good argument, some families have experienced fairly measurable negative experiences with vaccines. And I think that's a given. Some families believe and can forward certain evidence that their kids or their grandkids or their father, grandmother, or what have been negatively affected. So I think we should allow for some liberty. And I think church denominations
kind of like
try
should you eat meat offered to idols kind of thing. And the other thing is, vaccines are not what you and I had when we were a kid. There is so much more involved and added to that people have to be very discerning as to what they say they will give their children and what they won't give their children. But it's up to the parents. It's a matter of jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I disagree with Alan Dershowitz saying it's a constitutional thing that the government can come and plunge a needle in your arm. That's where I think it's wrong for the state to say it, public health to say it. It is a matter of parental authority as to who has jurisdiction over the child.
Yes, I agree. But Bill, if the tyrants come down, well, that's ordained by God, too. And we, what are we going to do? Well, we can fight for every exemption we can get, and we should do that. I believe we should press for our liberties as best as we can. But here's one more takeaway, Bill. If you have turned your children over to the nurture and the admonition of Caesar,
what can you expect?
In the worldview of Caesar's schools, they're going to have to allow Caesar to make the call.
Caesar's going to come in and put his food in your refrigerator and make you eat that food.
And he's going to put his vaccines into your kids.
That's right.
So, friends, there are issues tied into this, and you know, we've tried to address this from several different angles on this edition of the program. And I think it's important for us, first and foremost, to fear God and realize that our nation is being terrorized. There's no question about it. And our governments are crossing the boundaries of jurisdiction that have been laid out in Scripture for governments. But, friends, we are tyrannized. We lose control over our children. They are kidnapped. Why? Because as a nation, we have turned away from God. And judgment begins in the household of God, and it's most important for Christians to fall on their knees, confess their sins, and then cry out for God's mercy and liberty for their families. And that's about the best thing I can say on this edition of the program. I'd encourage you to our little book, The Story of Freedom, which outlines a biblical perspective based in God's law for a definition of liberty and a defense of liberty for the present age. And friends, these issues are important. I don't think there are people out there listening saying, you know, I would like to leave my kids in gulags and prison camps. I don't think too many people are saying that, but that's probably what you're going to do. Unless you wake up and get involved.
Just got to ask yourself, do you trust your government?
Yeah. Get a copy of The Story of Freedom at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.